Good evening. I heard of a story one time, don't know who it was or where it was, but a man was asked if he knew Christ was coming in the next 24 hours, how would that affect your actions? Can't read my writing. How would that affect your actions? The man's response was, I have several appointments to schedule today. I plan on making all those appointments. He says, tonight I'll go home. I'll have supper as usual. I'll do things around the house. I'll go to bed at the normal time. And if Christ comes before I awake, then I will awake in a better place. That caught my attention as I was listening to it. And I got to thinking about the scripture in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The verse I was thinking of was, but with godliness with contentment is great gain. This sounds like a man that was content in his godliness. He was content in knowing if something happened, he was ready to go. And that got me to thinking, because I'm not a very content person. If I'm not content in my walk of life, daily walk of life, then I have to question whether I'm content in my godliness sometimes. And that got me to thinking a little bit about things we see in the scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I've got to talk slow tonight. I'm having tongue twister issues, I think. I went down a slide at the water park yesterday, and I think I've determined at 58 years old, I'm not made for them slides anymore. The first slide I went down, I about knocked Lisa off down because I was taking one of the kids down the little bitty one, and he didn't want to go down, so I got a little bitty one. It's only about, 4 foot. And I hit the ground and lost my balance, and Lisa's the first thing I see, so I'm running into her trying not to knock her down and not drop Lincoln at the same time. Well, then Allison, we saw they opened the big slide. Well, I'm a big boy. I can go on a big boy slide. Well, I should have been content to stay on the ground because I hit that slide, and I went like this, and I hit the water. And when I stood up, I had to look like a drunk man walking because I was all out of sorts. Then I got to thinking to myself, I should have been content to stay on the ground. Well, I didn't get back on that slide again. I had to test myself, though, because last time I got on a slide like that, I got stuck somewhere in the middle. And I had to prove to the kids that, no, I don't always get stuck on slides like that. But anyway, that's just a point in passing. But I should have been content to stay on the ground. But I have a little trouble with contentment sometimes and settling on what I need to do. Philippians chapter 4, starting in the 11th verse. Philippians chapter 4, starting in the 11th verse. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care in me hath flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, and I am therewith to be content. This is Paul writing. And then I got to thinking, what did Paul go through? And he was still content. There's a scripture that talks about 5 times he received 40 stripes. Last time I received any stripes, I was a young kid, about 12 or 13, I'm guessing, with my dad. And I didn't want to receive them after that. 5 times he received 40 stripes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 1 time he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day in the deep. All this while trying to serve Christ. All this while being a representative of Christ. I would have given up after the first of any of those. In fact, I probably wouldn't have been shipwrecked because I wouldn't have been on a boat in the first place. But that's the way they got around in those days. But what he went through, and to still say, whatever state I was in, I will be content. Did he suffer? Did he have second thoughts? you got to question whether he had second thoughts sometimes. Because this is a man that had all kinds of power earlier in his life, and now he's working for the same authority he was working against earlier, and he's suffering more for it than he did in the first place. So you got to wonder, but he was content in whatever state he is in whatever state he was in. Contentment is a state of happiness and satisfaction, and ease of mind. If I'm content with something, I'm comfortable with it. Okay, I got to the last thing. I've been married for 35 years. Yes, it will be 35 years. I keep thinking that because I keep telling Stacy she's 38 years old. Well, that wouldn't work out because I wasn't married 35. But in that time, well, I've had a black and white conversion van. I've had a green conversion van. I've had a red caravan. I've had a green caravan. I've had a Ford Flex. I've had a Ford Expedition. I now have a Dodge Dakota, and I have a motorhome. I lived in the house right here behind the church when I got married. I had a motor, a trailer right over here in the Indians land before we got married. I lived at Grandma's old house next to my new house, and now I have my new house. Why do I have all these things? Because I'm not content with what I have sometimes. I have to increase myself. I have to be a little different. Of course, I had to get rid of some of the cars because between my wife and my kids and myself, there weren't much parts left on these cars. We traded them. I said when we took the Flex over 200 and some thousand miles and it had all the fenders, all the bumpers and everything on it. Of course, we've kept the Lynette and the other kids from, no, I'm just joking. We've kept people from driving it. But but I was still not content with that car. And why was I not content? Because suddenly it hit 200,000 miles, and I'm thinking, okay, it's 200,000 miles. The 205 is going to go on me and break? I don't know. I'm at 208 or 9,000 on it now. It hasn't been driven much, but, you know, I just wasn't content with it anymore. It would have gotten me around, but my contentment level dropped a little bit. Same way with the houses. Why did I improve? Because I wasn't content with what I had. Wasn't a bad thing to move, wasn't a problem to move, but yet I had to remember where my contentment really needed to lie, and that is in Christ. That is in serving God and in the things I do. I cannot be content for long periods of time. I don't know. By the grace of God and His help, I've been content with the church for as many years as I've been a member, because there have been many things that could have driven me away. But I've stayed content to Him. But it's a struggle on a daily basis. We're okay when things are new, but the newness wears off. We're okay when things are new, but then the newness wears off. I'm pretty sure Lisa thinks my newness has worn off 30-some years ago, but she stuck with me. So she's just got to be content with what she knows. She has to put up with me. But my newness wore off a long time ago. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Taking that out of the rest of Scripture, but learn to be content with such things as you have. Physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever. But I don't think spiritually I can be content. I think I need to be continuing to improve myself. I can be content today, but I think if I'm content in 6 months, I might be having to research myself, reevaluate myself a little bit, because why am I content now? I should be trying to make myself more content. What I need to learn is to make myself, to warn myself constantly, is that I remember to stay content in my walk with God spiritually. We will keep our that's a hard word to get out for some reason. If I say content, you'll know what I mean. I just can't get contentment out tonight. We will keep our contentment by following Christ and all He has done for us. We will keep our light focused on Him. This came to mind a little bit this morning. I don't want to, for purposes of the tape, I won't say where I was, but it's a scary thing when you go to a congregation where you imagine it was a thriving congregation at one time, and we walked in there with 8 or 9 people this morning, and we outnumbered them by 4 people, and that was sad, because I look at myself and I think, man, if I stay content with the way Vandalia is right now, in 30 years, am I going to be sitting in Vandalia? It's a scary thought to think I'll be here in 30 years, but I will be. No, to be sitting here in 30 years in Vandalia, and I'll be looking at 10 people sitting here, 20 people sitting here, maybe less. That's a scary thing, so we need to not be content with where we're at. Not saying there was anything wrong with that group. It's just old age, and it was families moving away. But I think that gives us an eye-opening experience is that we need to be a little more proactive in trying to keep people as we have them. And this coming from a man that has a family over in Indiana that ain't none of them in the church anymore. So it's a scary thing that even your family could walk away from church. But Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Luke 11, 33 through 36. It was interesting this morning. We were sitting there, though, and it was before church started, and Eva was making a little bit of commotion, and I think one of the other Miller kids was. And I don't know if it was Leah's grandpa or Norm Reakins said, hey, don't quiet him down. It's good to hear that kind of noise. You know, we might get a little agitated if we hear noise here, but they're looking forward to hearing that kind of noise. So we don't want to be content with what we have. Of course, once again, it's the Fiorentine / Millers that are making the noise. So, hey, we just take it from one building to the next. Okay, Luke 11, 33 through 36. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither high under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they may come, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy whole body is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having put no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give light. So one way we're going to be content in our walk with Christ is to keep our light bright and shining. Keep our light lit. We all have a candle that we lit when we became members of the Church of Christ, did we not? We turned away from the darkness and came to the light. Well, my concern is that sometimes I douse that light a little bit. I cover that light. I hide it a little bit. It's the funniest thing at work sometimes. We have a piece of equipment we work on now that you have to crawl up inside this oven. You have to put your flashlight in one end of it, and you have to crawl in this oven and look out, look backwards through the thing at a heat exchanger and see if you can see light through it. Well, I was doing that the other day at a school, and a lady came through and said, wondered why I was laying up inside her oven, because all she could see was my feet sticking out. And I had her shut all the lights off in the kitchen and everything so I could see that little light shining through there, because I needed to determine if there was a defect in that piece of equipment. I needed to find out if there was a reason for darkness to be in that piece of equipment. When we take Christ on, we light a candle. The world continually tries to make us douse. They continually try to make us put something over our candle so it won't light. That's happened all the times in the Scripture, many times. That's what happened with Job. Job was content with where he was. I don't see Job having many issues. Job was going about his daily walk of life. Job was serving Christ, God. Job had many things. He was a rich man. But yet, Satan came along and said, I'm going to douse his light a little bit. Or I want you to let me douse his light, because everything he has and everything he's doing is because of you. You're protecting him. I want to douse his candle a little bit. So he started trying to douse his candle, and he took everything away from him. You know, I haven't lost anything really important to me in my life. I might have lost a dog when I was young or something, but, you know, Job lost everything, even as the love of his wife almost, when she told him, curse God and die. But what was Job's response? He was content with where he was. I came into this world with nothing. I'll leave this world with nothing. Blessed be God. You know, if only I could say that when I lose certain things in my life. I hope I can be that positive, because everything was taken from him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were serving God. They were pillars in the community. They were lights around them. And what happened? People tried to dim that light. to the point where they got them cast into the fiery furnace. They got them thrown in certain death. They're going to die. But their light shone through because they walked out unscathed. But they walked out because they had Christ and God. They had God in their lives. They had the power of God behind them. So they didn't let their contentment lie just in what they had, their power and their abilities. Their contentment was in God. Even to the point where they said, if he doesn't deliver us, then he's still a great and wonderful God. It was our time to go. I think that's been, in essence, I'm putting words in their mouths, but that's basically what they said. If it's our time to go, it's our time to go. But God is still good. Because they didn't know when they went in. They had never seen a man walk out of a burning fiery furnace. A burning fiery furnace. Okay. They had never seen that happen. I just messed up my pages here. James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Oh, I'm sorry, I want 22, I'm sorry. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. When you do anything, you look to improve yourself. Isn't that why I'm living in a different house? I wanted to improve myself. I wanted to make things better for my family. At work, I'm constantly looking at ways to improve myself. If not, then when review time comes up, they're going to say to me, well, what have you got to show for yourself this year, Doug? You haven't done anything different than what you've done. Well, because I was content with where I was at work. I wasn't going to try to make myself better. The one hurdle I haven't crossed yet, and I'm going to take a jump into it one of these days, but I'm one of those you can't teach an old dog new tricks, is refrigeration. But I just don't have the gumption to do it yet. I'm content with where I'm at. I don't want to go out on a limb and be uncomfortable trying to learn it. And I'm going to do it one of these days. But yet, do I do the same thing with my spiritual walk? I'm content with where I'm at. I don't want to go that extra step. I don't want to try to make myself a little bit better. Not saying you don't have to. I mean, you can sit here and be content all the time. But yet, where are you going to be spiritually then? You're just going to be stagnant. You're just going to be learning. And one way I'm trying to do that is I've got a Wednesday night class coming up, and that just drives me bats because I'm not comfortable doing those yet. So I'm working on it, but I can do a lot of things in the church, but I don't know, teaching Wednesday night class has just got me going. Right? I'm going to work on it though, and I'll get over it someday. But then where will I go next? I don't need to be content in the fact that I can do just a few things. But that being said, if you only do a few things, be content with what you can do and continue to do those things. Don't stop doing them. I sat here for years watching Walter do many things, but he didn't do a lot of things I'm doing. Did I think any less of Walter? No. But Walter did the best he could. And there's a lot of people out there that do that. Standing there this morning at Sheridan, I wasn't going to say where I was, but Sheridan, and the closing song, I saw Leah standing there and she's going like this during the closing song. And I thought of, is it Jack or Otis? It wasn't one of those black men at Chow, or was it the guy at the nursing home? Anyway, there's, he would, or one of them would do this when they were singing. He couldn't carry a note in a bucket, but yet he was content with where he was at. He was among friends. He was among friends. He was at church. He couldn't get up and give lessons. He couldn't do anything else, but just the fact that he was there was building other people up. So he was content to be where he was at. And I need to be content where I'm at, but I myself need to be looking to not just be doers of the word, or not just hear the word, but doers also. I need to hear the word, and I need to do it. I think we need to ask ourselves continuously as we do that, as my son walks out on me. I'm just joking. I need to ask myself two questions. Do I have godliness with contentment in my life? or do I have contentment in my godliness in my life? They kind of sound the same thing, but to me they're a little bit different. Godliness with contentment is, I am here, I am understanding what God has done for me. I understand what God's done for me. I understand I need to work to be a better Christian from God's eyes and in the community. I'm focused on God, basically. If I have, in my eyes, contentment with godliness, then I'm focused on myself. And in order to not confuse that, what I mean is, the scripture I was thinking of was Job, where was his focus? His focus was on God, not on self. But then we have other examples in the scriptures. We have the rich young ruler who came up to Christ and said, what do I need to do to be saved? Do this, do this, do this, do this. Got it. Check and mark them. Checking them down the line. All you have to do now is sell everything you got and come and follow me. Well, his godliness lost its contentment at that point in time, did it not? Because he was going to have to give up what he needed, what he had to get, what he had in his life. I'm trying not trying to confuse this, but to me it was all focused on himself at that point in time. And I can become the same way. I can become focused on myself. He was fine until that point came. You know, get rid of what you have and come follow me. Unless you think I'm beating up on him, we have the example in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, of the rich farmer. I brought in my crops. I've got more than enough, but yet I need bigger barns. We don't know what this man's spiritual state was, but we get an indication that he knew a little bit about God because he said, I will say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry, because you've got everything you need. And God told him, today your soul will be taken from you. And whose will these be? His contentment in God was focused on what he had, his power, his strength, his abilities. He wasn't willing to necessarily give that up for God. I don't know that I can put that in that story, but that's what I pick out of that story when I see that he said, today your soul, eat, drink, and be merry. So he lost his contentment was in his, he had contentment in his godliness. He thought he was good enough, so he was content with that. I can never start to think that I'm good enough and leave it at that. Because when I do that, that's when I'm going to stub my toe and I'm going to fall. We will keep our commitment by focus on Christ and all he has done for us. I can go to Lisa. Lisa's done a lot for me. I can go to my dad and mom. They've done a lot for me. I can go to you guys around me. You've done a lot for me. But yet you can't do anything near what Christ has done for me. I don't think any of you have been on a cross for me. I don't think any of you have had yourselves beaten up for me. I don't think any of you have suffered anything like Christ did for me. But yet I need to remember that my contentment needs to be in him. I need to be content in the fact that I need to serve him and worship him on a daily basis. We need to keep our light focused on him, as I said earlier. We need to keep serving him. If somebody were to ask me, if I knew Christ was coming in the next 24 hours, what would my answer be? I'm a little concerned that I wouldn't have the same answers this gentleman had earlier that I brought up. Well, I better stay home and I better pray all day. I better call people that I think I might have offended and make amends with them a little bit. I might have to do this and do that. It's hard to say. We all have our different levels of contentment with where we're at in our daily, in our scriptural walk. The scriptures are full of examples of people. Moses was content to walk in the wilderness, was he not? I may be taking the story way off into left field. But after he'd killed the Egyptian, or he'd killed the man, and he fled, and he's wandering through the wilderness, he was content. Is there any indication he wasn't content? He would have walked there for years. He was happy. He was alive. Nobody was looking to kill him. But yet God said, I'm going to rattle your contentment a little bit. I'm going to rattle it. And he caused him to see the burning bush, and he put him in charge. Oh, by the way, You think you're powerful enough to kill a man for me? Well, guess what? You're going to take on the most powerful man now. I'm going to send you in there, and I'm going to deliver my people through you. But I'll be with you the whole time. He rattled his contentment a little bit. Moses tried to find all the ways he could weasel out of it, just like I'll do. I'll find ways to weasel out of things. They give me a job at work, and I don't want to do it. Bruce is my fall guy now. Let Bruce do it. Luckily, Bruce, like I said, he's happy-go-lucky about these jobs anymore. But I know there's some I won't throw him under the bus on. But yet, I'm not content with doing some things. But yet, I hope I'm not that way when it comes to Christ as serving God. It tells us to be already always with an answer to every man that asketh the hope that lieth within me. Sometimes I think to myself, man, I hope nobody asks me because I really don't have an answer for them. Well, they may just be looking for a shoulder to cry on. Or just, hey, I'm with you. I'll find the answer to that, and we'll talk about it. So we need to ask ourselves, where is our contentment? Is our contentment in godliness with great gain? Because I don't know how I can do anything but gain when I'm with Christ and I have God in my life. I can do nothing but gain. So when we take on Christ, we light a candle that the world tries to make us douse on a daily basis. You know, it doesn't take much light to penetrate darkness. You know, I can put my flashlight in that little heat exchanger, and I can crawl through there, and all I have to see is just the smallest little needle of a light, and I can condemn that whole $2,000 piece of thing that's in that oven there. $2,000 trash, just like that. All because I can see a little piece of light. Well, that little piece of light that I shine in the world could be enough to drag somebody from being destroyed to coming to live with Christ and coming to be a member of the Church of Christ. We never want to give up that opportunity. The little things we can do will turn into big things. It's like this morning, don't let the little kids be quiet. We want to hear them. Well, we are all little kids at one time. None of us came into the... None of us were baptized into Christ as full-grown adults, meaning we didn't know everything. We were still children in Christ. Now, some of us are still children in Christ. Some of us are still learning. Some of us have a lot more knowledge. But yet, we never stop learning. We never become content with what we have. Will I sell my Expedition? Well, probably in about 6 or 7 years. I'll probably sell it, maybe get a new one. Will I need to get it by that time? I don't know. But the newness will have worn off. Maybe one of the fenders will be rusting or something, or the engine will be making a little bit of noise. Wade Stanley this morning talked about he's had 2 or 3 cars in the last 10 years, and, you know, he gets content with them. He drives them. He doesn't think about it. Well, one of them, the floorboard was about rusted through, and the mechanic said, you got to get rid of this car. You're going to put your foot right through the floorboard with his brakes once. So he said he went and got another one, 200,000 miles on a car when he bought it. Didn't think anything about it. He was content with it. Driving it down the highway, and the timing belt broke, destroyed the motor. Well, now he's not quite so content with all the cars he has. He thinks about them a little bit more. He pays attention to them. Well, I need to do that in my spiritual life. I need to not be content with where I'm at in my spiritual life. I may look at myself in a year and say, wow, you're doing pretty good. I'm not patting myself on the back. But if I look at myself in a year and say, Doug, you did a lot better on Wednesday evening classes this year, that's an accomplishment. But I hope I can at least make a little bit of accomplishment in that next year. But yet, all you guys will look at yourselves, and you can look in a year and say, hey, this is something I've improved at. This is something I've made an improvement in. We're always looking to improve ourselves, to not be content. Contentment with godliness is great gain. So I hope we're all here and we're content with where we're at with Christ, but we're always needing to improve ourselves a little bit at a time. And we do that through Christ, we do that through the Scriptures, and we do that through learning and studying and being with all of you folks. It's a big boon to be with all you folks. If for some reason tonight you have not accepted Christ into your life, you don't have that contentment in your life, or if you have got that contentment for some reason, you've fallen away. You've come into disarray. You've gone aside of the way you know you should be. We're always given the opportunity to make ourselves right in the eyes of God as we stand and sing the closing song.